Hey man, well, wonderful Sunday school lesson today. Really appreciated listening in and taking in everyone's comments and feedback in regards to just all that we have through our Lord and Savior and through our God, in appreciating all that He has made available to us. Being free from condemnation of sin, of being extended the grace and mercy of living in the peace that He gives us in the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. So just very appreciative of everyone's comments and feedback. I have a message today that God put in my heart for us to really look at how we can. It's really a message about moving forward and not being stuck in a certain place in our minds. We're in spiritual warfare each and every day, and our mindsets or our perspectives, what we put our attention on, can kind of keep us in a place instead of moving forward and on. It's what God is always calling us to do, to keep pressing on toward the mark, to continue to do what He's called us to do in each day. And we know that the distraction, the tactic that the enemy uses quite often, is to try to control our mindsets about any one thing in particular and take our attention off of what God has called us to do and to be. So this message is entitled Onward and Upward. As we look at moving forward, as we look at going and doing what God has called us to do, that's what our attention and our focus has to really truly remain on, to be effective and have the impact that God would have us to have on this world. So let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank You for this blessed day. We thank You, Father God, for this blessed opportunity to come together as a church body to worship You, Father God, to give You all the honor that is due unto You. Father God, to continue to just help us to walk in obedience to what You've called us to do and to be. Help us, Father God, to adhere to Your word and Your call and Your commission on our lives, that we might do Your will and not our will. We thank You, Father God, for Your continued provision, the favor that You have on us. We thank You, Father God, for making a way out of no way. We thank You, Father God, for being a shelter in the time of storm. We thank You, Father God, for Your Son, Jesus. As I bring this message today, none of me and all of you, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. For You are my Lord and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I looked at this title, Onward and Upward, and it's a phrase that you may have heard in either movies or in a book or in a narrative of. It really is an encouraging and motivational phrase that is used to inspire someone to advance, to grow, to achieve greater success after facing hardship. It's something to get us to move forward and to keep our eyes on progression. And I have six scripture texts I'm going to reference today. Our main scripture will be in Philippians 3. And we'll look at verses 13 and 14. And I'll make some references to Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Hebrews 10 and 17. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, and see, two more, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, close out with Romans 8, 1 through 6. But I want to draw our first attention to Paul's letter to the church of Philippi in Philippians 3. Picking up at verse 13, and I'm going to read from the King James, where it says, "Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward what? The goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So what Paul is telling us is, in so many words, don't look back. You know, we must forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. And there's a natural human tendency for us to look back. And sometimes we can, you know, and there's a time and place and a season for all things. But, we can look back in history and see things that have happened. And we can draw on special memories of things that we've accomplished or done. And those things can have great value for us. But what's so important for what God is calling us to do each day is to act on what God is calling you to do today. You can spend so much time reflecting that you can spend less time doing. And as I said, Satan's tactic is to keep you from doing what God has called you to do today. Amen. And Paul is telling us to forget what lies behind. Paul is saying, don't look back in a way that will keep you from going forward. So it's all in context. It's like if you're looking back to encourage yourself to do something, then do that, right? But don't get so caught up in, and there's two areas. I'm going to touch on both. The enemy can use your past sins to keep you in bondage from doing what God has called you to do today. Satan can also get you to focus on your past accomplishments and become prideful and high and mighty that you rest on your laurels of what you did versus what you're doing. Amen. So the focus that I want us to draw our attention to is, okay, what is God calling me to do today? You know, it's not about what happened yesterday or last week, but what is God calling me to do today? And you'd have to imagine if we use Paul as an example, and just imagine how miserable the Apostle Paul would have been if he had not put behind the sins and mistakes of his past. You know, back in Paul's early years, before his conversion, Paul was named Saul, and he was the number one enemy of the church. He was he was responsible for the persecution and even the murder of people who had professed faith in Christ. Paul's past was filled with acts of evil, and he wasn't perfect even after he became a Christian. He, like us, continually struggled with sinfulness. Amen. And he, like us, is also forgiven through the grace of God. Amen. So he affirmed in his letter, and that's in the verse I gave in Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He affirmed in his letter to the Colossians, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Amen. So Paul was able to forget the awfulness of his past and be about the calling of what God has called him to do in his present ministry that he had, right? In Hebrews 10 and 17, the Lord tells us that he will remember our sins and misdeeds no more. That is in his word, right? That's in God's word, that he will remember our sins and misdeeds no more. So there's no reason for us to remain enslaved to the mistakes and sins and shortcomings of our past. We don't have to continually feel guilty because of something we did years ago or even yesterday, because God, through Christ, has forgiven us. And all we need to do is repent, accept his forgiveness, and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's in church, sometimes we do wrong and people don't want to always accept our apology. You know, we come out and say, oh, you know what, I'm sorry for what I said or did to you. And you still have to move on from that. You can't get stuck on even the things that you've done to somebody else. And you've asked, you know, you've apologized, you said that you're sorry. You can't let that shame keep you from moving forward after you've done what God has called you to do. Amen. You can apologize, you continue to love on people, but the thing that we don't want is to become a bond and be in bondage to even our own past mistakes and our own past sins. Amen. The enemy will try to keep you trapped and locked in to your own undoing. And God, you know, Satan, he wants to continue to remind you of your past, the things you did wrong. But luckily, what makes you unworthy and to do, or what makes you feel like you're worthy enough to do what God has called you to do in today's, you know, at present? And that's, again, it's all a distraction and a tactic from keeping you from thriving in the calling that God has called you in this brand new day. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. He didn't say I'm not going to be sad in it about what happened yesterday or feel bad about it. No, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to press on. Amen. And we don't need to spend time looking back at past mistakes and sins of other people, ourselves. We can't sit in judgment. God is the only righteous judge. We can't, like, we don't want anybody else judging us and holding us accountable to our past things that we have made amends for and been redeemed from. We can't also hold things over people to keep them in that same kind of bondage. So just as God has forgiven us, we have to forgive one another. Amen. And some people's life identity is based on something that they did in the past. And we should not hold that over people, as we would not like that, again, like that, like our mistakes to hang over us. I want to say we've all made mistakes. We all have hurt someone at some point in some time in our lives. And God has helped us to move past the hurt that we feel about ourselves. He's helped us to move on from being stagnant and not being able to move forward from the things that people have hurt us on. Amen. So we continue to rely on God to help us past our own sins. We also rely and depend on God to help us to relieve people of things that people have done to us. Amen. But the important part of this message is really to stop looking back and to focus on this present day that God has given us. As I said, we all have memories of difficult times that have had the tendency to be replayed over and over in our minds. Our mind is like a video recorder that records our experiences, and it can be good and bad. You know, the memory of a tragedy that we've experienced can keep you from doing what you need to do today if you dwell on it no long enough. You know, they used to tell us, you know, we back in the day, we used to play those old sad love songs, and you think about that ex that just put you through all kind of heartache. You get more and more sad the more you play that song over and over and over again. And God is trying to get us to take that record off and put on a spiritual song of praise and say, let's turn from that. It's like our lives being books and we're stuck in one chapter. We don't know how to move on to the next. Amen. God is trying to show us there's a new day and a new, he's creating a you know, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And I believe it's Isaiah 43:18-19 talks about, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Amen. So church, we have to know that God is trying to stir up new things in our spirit. Our faith is an expectant faith, one that always points us to the future And as Christians, we should never long for the good old days before the new and exciting days that are yet to come. Amen? We have to trust that our hope and glory and our hope of Christ is that everything that he has set before us, the promises of God are yes and amen. And in Jesus Christ, therein lies our hope. Therein lies everything that we need to do and to be. And Paul, he paints a picture of a runner straining and pushing to finish a race. He says there, I press on toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's goal here, like ours, should be to become more like Christ in every thought, in every action. Amen? He forgets the mistakes of his old ways. He's forgetting Saul, his old persona. He said, I got to put that behind me. I got to put the mistakes and the sins, the memories of my past failures all behind me and go forward and go ahead. And just imagine, think about this. Even though at this time he's writing this letter to the church in Philippi, he's in prison, church. He is in prison. And at the time of writing this letter to the church, he's in a predicament that would make most people feel like, man, I remember when I wasn't in this cell. I remember when I was free. But he was not being bound by his physical existence. He was in a spiritual mindset of trying to spread and do what God has called him to do. He could have wrote a very sorrowful letter to the church in Philippi. It's like, y'all come, why don't y'all come see me? I'm stuck in this dungeon and I'm sad and I'm depressed. But yet he is praising God. Paul is looking ahead. He's not looking back. He keeps on looking to what lies in his future. And in his letter to the Hebrews, you think in Hebrews 12, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 here. We read, and in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So, church, I bring that scripture to our mind, to our attention for a reason. You can sit and look at your present state as Paul could have just focused on being in that cell. And even the example that he provides for us here in Hebrews, Jesus could have sit there and focused on being on that cross. But what he had more pressing before him was his calling and his commission and his love is what existed. Not his pain and his suffering, but his love for all mankind. He was on that cross dying for all of us. And yet he says to his father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He could have cursed all mankind at that time and at that stage in his life. He could have focused on everything that he was having to endure and go through. But he had so much love and compassion that he was filled with, you know what? Not my will, but God's will be done. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm not going to sit here and focus on my present condition and what I'm going through. I'm going to continue to do what God has called me to do. When Paul's in that prison, he's not focused on being in prison. He's focused on trying to help and uplift the church in Philippi, to help the church in Corinth, all the people that he continued to write letters to at different stages and points and times of his ministry. It wasn't about him. It was about doing what God had called him to do and to be. Amen. And what lies ahead, not what you're going through, but what's what's coming. And you think about what I just read for looking to Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. The joy that was set before him was being at the right hand of his Father on the throne of God, right? That's what he was focused on. He endured the cross by focusing on the joy that was set before him. That was his call. That was his commission. That was his destiny. Amen. To be at the right hand of his Father. And if we focus on the hope of what God has called us to do and to be, we won't grow weary and lose heart as we continue this race and this journey that we're on. We'll be focused on what lies ahead. And are we willing and ready to press toward the goal of becoming the person that God has called us to be? Jesus said in Luke 9:62, "No one who puts his hand to the plow looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." In essence, he's saying if you keep looking back, you can't focus on what's ahead of you and what God has called you to do and to be. If you keep looking back, you're going to be off track. You're going to veer off. You're not going to go the straight path that God has set before you. And if God is in front of you and your eyes are focused on him, you're going to continue on the path that he'd have laid out for you and for your life. And we know that the enemy wants to keep you from feeling like you're even worthy to do what God has called you to do. He wants you to be condemned. He wants you to walk in condemnation and to feel worthless. And we know in God's word, Romans chapter 8 is my next text we'll look at and close out on. In Romans chapter 8, we learn that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I'll read from the NIV, Romans 8, picking up in verse 1, where it says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." Verse 3, "For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh," verse 4, "in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Amen. Verse 5, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." And church, I want to close with this final thought for you to think about. We just looked at those scriptures. Living according to the Spirit is going to always keep you in line with doing what God has called you to do and to be. If you let your minds be governed by the things of this world and by, you let, it says, those who live according to the flesh. And as I think Sister Karen said earlier about being, letting your flesh lead you or your mindset lead you, you're always going to be drawn to those things that your flesh desires. But if you're spiritually minded, you're going to always be drawn to the things that God desires. Amen. And that's what's going to keep you in line with doing what God has called you to do and to be. And I believe Sister Kimberly mentioned at the end of the Sunday school about there's nothing like the peace of God. And you, in the world, or the people that have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, never truly understand what peace you have in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter what you have in the world, if you don't have peace, you don't have anything. So you're continually wrestling with your fleshly desires. You're continually wrestling with contentment in life, the having and the not having, or wanting more or not having enough. But being spiritually minded gives you true life and true peace, where you're not just existing, but you're thriving and you're living. And you have the peace of Christ in you. So no matter what's going on around you, because you're so centered and focused on Christ, the storms, the valleys of life, don't deter you from doing what God has called you to do because your focus is on Him. And as we learned in Sunday school lesson, when you focus and keep your attention on God, you're not distracted by any tactics or enticements by the enemy. You're not even under bondage to your own fleshly desires because you're so spiritually minded that you're doing everything that God has called you to do and be, and that becomes your focus and that becomes your perspective and how you look at things and how you look at life. You know, it's like I can watch the 6 o'clock news now and not be deterred because I know where my faith lies. Amen. I can look at the morning paper and not become dissatisfied because my hope is in Christ Jesus, and not whether the stock market is up or down. It doesn't matter because my hope and my trust is in our Lord and Savior. Amen. So the way to keep yourself in perfect peace is truly about focusing on Christ, the hope of glory, pressing on, onward and upward. Philippians 3:13-14. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward toward what lies ahead, I press on toward, not against, but I'm going toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Onward to the goal and upward toward the call. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father God. We thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father God, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit continuing to lead us and guide us. We thank you, Father God, for your presence today. We thank you, Father God, for continuing us to show us the way through your Son, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We give you praise, Father God, for all that you continue to do for us and all you continue to provide for us. Help us, Father God, to be good stewards over all you've blessed us with. Help us, Father God, to be obedient to the calling that you've placed on each of our lives individually and collectively as a church body. We thank you and give you praise. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.